If I were to come to you today and ask you, why did Jesus come into this world? How would you answer me? To heal? To bring hope? To change lives? Our scripture reading today invites us to notice the very purpose of the gospel, the reason why Jesus came into this world. And I invite you to look at John's answer, because John's answer is very surprising. He writes and he starts his letter and says, "We have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." What is the word, the one word in this section that describes the purpose of the gospel? To me, it is that word, fellowship. And John writes, it's a fellowship with the Father and Jesus Christ. He talks about this life and eternal life, the word that comes to us, who is Jesus, who makes it possible for us to experience fellowship. Fellowship means a sharing of life, a common life. And whenever you come across this word fellowship in scripture, it's got something to do with sharing of the sharing of life. And that is why Jesus came. And today, the invitation, so that I may live with Him, so that I may experience a shared life, so that I may experience fellowship with Him, I offer another reading of scripture. And this is the story of Matthew's call in Mark 2. And as we read it together, listen to how Christ steps out of the story and becomes a living word in the present. How Jesus not only engages in fellowship with Matthew, but as we meditate on it, allow God, let God speak into our hearts, in your heart, and that you can receive a life-giving word that evokes a desire to accept and explore the invitation to experience fellowship with Him yourself. Let's read together. "Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to Him, and He began to teach them. As He walked along, He saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. 'Follow me,' Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed Him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with Him and His disciples, for there were many who followed Him. And when the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw Him eating with sinners and tax collectors, they asked His disciples, 'Why does He eat with tax collectors and sinners?' And on hearing this, Jesus said to them, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners.'" What are the reasons that are underlying to Matthew? His name is still Levi in this part of the story. What are the reasons that's underlying Matthew's wholehearted response to Jesus' invitation that day? What in this story can help us and encourage us in our own response to Jesus' invitation? Follow me. I want a relationship. I want fellowship with you. Well, in the first place, when we look at this experience and this story, we see that Matthew experiences God's pursuit. Jesus is going about his ministry. I mean, we read crowds are gathered around him. He's preaching, he's teaching. And then he walks past Matthew. And watch this. Jesus is the one that approaches Matthew. Jesus goes up to him first. Jesus stops and pays attention to this tax collector sitting at his booth. Now in the Bible, in scripture, the God we meet in scripture, the God we meet in Jesus Christ is a God who longs for us. A God who wants to find us. A God who pursues us. He's like a divine lover who pursues us passionately until he finds us. And God will never give up looking for you. And he will never say, I'm drawing a line now. Never. The search goes on relentlessly and passionately. And that's what Jesus' message was all about. Why did Jesus always hang out with people who had messed up? We read here in this story, he's spending time with sinners. Why? Because he wanted them to know that God is looking for them, that God hadn't given up on them, and that God wanted to find them. The only time Jesus has problems with people is when he goes to the church. The only people who struggle with Jesus are the supposed good people, the religious leaders. They can't accept and experience this pursuit. Jesus reveals to us a God who longs for us. And he tells this story. He says, God is like this woman. She has 10 coins and she loses one of them. So what does she do? Well, she's got 9, so she forgets about the one. No. She lights a lamp. She lights a lamp and she gets a broom. She looks for it and she's sweeping. Does she sweep until she's tired? No. Until her husband comes home? No. She searches and she searches for that coin until she finds it. Until she finds it. Now God is looking for you. He's looking for you with love, a deep, deep love. And he comes to us in 101 different ways every day, reaching out to us through creation, through books, through poetry, through movies, through the Bible, through friends and through people. Even now, through my own words, God is looking for you with love. Will you let yourself be found? Will you let yourself be found? A couple of weeks ago, I was reading about the rescue dog Jet who went missing and how his owners were relentlessly looking for him. And somehow that was like kind of a parable for me about God searching for me. Jet was a dog trained to find missing children and animals, and he somehow fell into a manhole. And one of the rescuers went after him into the manhole, into the sewerage, into the stream underground looking for Jet. And when I read it, it was like a light switch went on. This is what God does. God steps in through the manhole from heaven to earth, into the sewerage, into the mess, into the pain, into the heartache of our lives, and he searches for us. He searches for us with a love that will not let go until it finds us. Will you let yourself be found? Secondly, Matthew, we see, experiences God's unconditional acceptance. And if we are going to respond and grow in our fellowship with Jesus, with him, so that we might live, we need to experience his unconditional acceptance. And we know today that being a tax collector was a despised profession. A tax collector was someone that was excluded from being part of a respectable community. Matthew would not have been welcome in the local synagogue. And the vocation of a tax collector involved personal enrichment at the expense of others, exploiting and deceiving and getting away with as much as one could. They were looked upon as sinners. And Matthew probably considered himself to be utterly unacceptable to God. But Jesus walks into his world and he extends to him some amazing words of invitation. Follow me. Imagine, just imagine how Matthew must have felt in that moment. Desired, recognized, deeply loved. And because he knew Jesus was a prophet, Matthew would have interpreted his invitation as a sign of God's radical and unconditional acceptance. Henry Nouwen writes that one of the greatest enemies to the spiritual life is self-rejection. Many of us struggle to know that we are accepted exactly as we are by God. We have this picture of God deep in our hearts that tells us we are unacceptable unless we jump through certain hoops, meet certain requirements, and fulfill certain demands. But Jesus, in his encounter with Matthew, disproves the idea that God offers only conditional acceptance. And we must hear in the depths of our spirits, Christ's whisper, you are accepted as you are. In Romans, it says that the Spirit of the Lord whispers to our hearts that we are his children. We belong to him. We are accepted by him. And when we hear these gospel words, we're able, often for the first time in our lives, to accept and even love ourselves. When we hear the words of God's unconditional acceptance, we can embrace the darker and more destructive parts of our lives that we tend to sweep under the rug. It's when we hear these words of acceptance that we can embrace the shadowy sides of our lives and bring them to God, because we know we will be accepted as we are. And at this point, that's where real change and transformation begins. That's where it begins. When we hear Jesus' words of acceptance and we realize, I no longer have to pretend. And he's working his change and his life into mine. Have you heard? Have you received his words that you are unconditionally accepted? It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you come from. It does not matter what has happened to you. His invitation comes to you today. Follow me. If you want to live, come and have fellowship with me. Finally, Matthew wholeheartedly responds because he experiences that he's part of God's greatest story. When Jesus walks into Matthew's world with those words, follow me, his words are an invitation to join others who are living out God's story. We read how there were others around this table while they're sharing a meal. There were many who followed him. And Matthew would have already been familiar with the story, because from Abraham, God had been working to form a community of people through which he could heal and deliver this world. And he issues an invitation to each and every one of us to participate in his healing work. You see, when we live in God's story, people begin to matter. Evil is overcome with acts of creative goodness. Beauty replaces ugliness. And we begin to connect with those who are in pain. And we see this in the story of Levi as he becomes Matthew. And we all long to be part of a story bigger than our own individual stories. Some of the stories we choose to live are not always helpful or good. Maybe in our attempts to become part of something bigger than ourselves, larger than ourselves, we sell our souls to a corporate company or identify uncritically with an ideology or a political party. Maybe we immerse ourselves in the lives of TV celebrities and reality TV stars. But we're trying to fit our lives into a bigger story in so many ways. Our deep human need to connect our story with a bigger story that will hopefully bring greater meaning and purpose to our lives. It's an undercurrent in all of our stories, but tragically, many of the stories we choose to become part of, they don't do this. They rather leave us empty, disillusioned, restless. We need to follow Jesus into God's story, the story for which you and I have been created for, the story for which we were created. And living in this story has transformed my life and given it a profound meaning that I treasure deeply. You see, when we follow Jesus in this way, we transformed inwardly. We receive new ways of listening and seeing, being attentive, being aware in thinking and in feeling. And Matthew followed Jesus because Jesus showed him God's way to live. And this is why I follow him too. And it is why I invite you to consider Jesus' invitation today to follow him as well so that you might live. So where to start? Maybe I can just give one very practical invitation, because following Jesus is always practical. And the invitation is to get to know Jesus and grow in fellowship with him through a way of prayer. You see, God speaks in so many different ways to us, but I think the most important meeting place between us and God is scripture. And I want to suggest that we bring our Bible reading and our prayer life praying together in a very simple way that I want to outline with 5 P's. 5 P's when praying with scripture. In the first P is place. Find a place. If we are going to listen to God through the scriptures, we need a place to go to where we won't be interrupted, where we can relax, where we can become quiet and still. A place that we can go to on a regular basis where we can meet with God and listen to him. The second P, prepare. So when I go to my special place to meet with God, I need to take some time to prepare for the encounter. And we can prepare in a whole lot of different ways. Some of us like to prepare by listening to some quiet music. Others simply like to just relax and take in a few deep breaths. What I find helpful is to light a candle. And when I'm ready, I move on to the next step, which is passage. So when I feel that there's a quietness within my heart and my mind, when I feel prepared to listen to God, I go to that passage which I've selected to read. And usually it's a passage that's not very long, between 10 to 15 verses that could be one of the stories of the gospel, or it could be a psalm or a passage from one of Paul's letters. And when I go to that passage, I read it slowly. It's a way of reading scripture very slowly and leisurely, reflectively. And I find it quite helpful to read the passage aloud a few times to myself until I'm struck by a word or a phrase or a sentence. And once I'm struck by something in the passage, I stop and I move to the next P, which is ponder. And this is the stage in the process when I take that word or that phrase or that sentence that has really touched me and I reflect on it. And it's almost like sucking a sweet. I t- turn it over and over in my mind and my thinking. And I just begin to wonder, what is God, what might God be saying to me through this? Is he inviting me to anything? Is he encouraging me to do something? Is he directing me into a particular direction? And then the fifth P, to pray. Now, in one respect, we've been praying all the time. We were praying as we prepared. We were praying as we read the scriptures. We were praying as we pondered that word or that phrase or that sentence. But now we have a time where we actually respond to the Lord and speak with the Lord as a friend. And usually when we've listened to God in scripture, there are things that are going on inside of us that we want to share with him. And now is the time to do it. So I invite you this week to practice this way of praying and to get to know God even more so that we may live, so that we may experience his pursual, his unconditional acceptance, and that we are part of his story. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for your life. Thank you that you've sent, you've given yourself so freely and generously through Jesus Christ. And we desire, Lord, to know you more intimately, love you more deeply, and follow you more closely. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for joining us again today. If you want to go on a journey with regards to this relationship, this invitation with Jesus, then I invite you to a learning experience developed by Trevor Hudson and Johan Geiser, which will start the 1st of February and continue for the year. It's called Zozo, which is the Greek word for healing. And we want to go on a journey together to find healing through connection and dialogue in the three relationships of our life, deeper with God, closer to each other, and further into this world with our passions, gifts, uniqueness that God has given each one of us. And part of this learning experience is to practice this way of praying that I've introduced today. So if you want more information about this, please contact us at the church office, or you can register for it today on our website under the registrations tab. Receive the blessing. The love of God our Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit remain with us all evermore. Amen.